Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us for this Tuesday edition. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls right now at 844-322-2742. So for Bible questions or life circumstances, or if you'd just like to send out a Christmas greeting and say hello to all the other listeners who are listening in, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about identity, our identity in Christ, and how important of an issue that is. So important that God has made us brand new from the very core of our being. So we're not just wearing a label. We're not just putting something on our coat lapel and saying, hey, this is who we are. No, we have been changed and transformed from the very inside. So our nature before knowing Christ, we were children of wrath. We were sinners. We were dead in trespasses and sins. That's not a good self-image. That's not a good identity to have, but that was truth. And I think that's important for us to understand truth. And the reason it's important for us to understand truth is because Jesus had a mission to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. So if you don't think you're a sinner, then you're going to miss his mission. You're going to be left outside of it because he just came into this world to save sinners. Well, that's really all of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we were sinners by nature, but now through new birth, we've been born again of the Spirit, born again into the family of God, and we are now children of God. So that's a name that reflects the transformation that's taken place. That's a name that reflects the true core of our being. As I said, it's not just a label that we wear on our coat lapels. No, this is reality. Yeah. This is truth about us. Now, God wants us to know this above all things initially. He wants to really confirm this over and over and over so that we know that we know that we know. And we're not confused. We're not going back and forth. And so to help with that, God sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. So Paul says this in Romans 8, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons. So that's truth emanating from within, from the very Spirit of God who has come to take up residence in us. So we did not receive the spirit of slavery, but we received the spirit of adoption of sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Because God's Spirit lives inside of us, we naturally, supernaturally cry out, Abba, Father. We know we belong to God. We know we are a part of his family. And then Paul writes this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we have the testimony of God's Spirit inside of us, bearing witness with our human spirit that indeed we are children of God. So God wants us to know that we know that we know. He wants us to go through life confident in our new identity as children of God. And then he's given us his Spirit to empower us to live out who we are as children of God. And that's certainly going to take place against the currents of this world. We're going to be swimming upstream when we are living out our true identity. But one of the things that we struggle with is going back and forth on this question, who am I? And Paul, again, addresses that in 1 Corinthians. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So he has this umbrella called the unrighteous. Those are the lost. And then under that umbrella comes these different labels. So there's the sexually immoral. There's the idolaters, the adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, the thieves. Those all fall under that umbrella called the unrighteous, yeah. The lost, the unsaved. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Now, we sometimes go back and forth because we have fleshly desires, we have thoughts, and those thoughts can connect us with some of these identities. Some of those thoughts that we experience, some of those fleshly desires that we have inside these bodies of ours, they start to make us think that we are a part of the unrighteous. And we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And God is saying, hey, let's put a stop to that. Let's just put a stake in the ground and come to the point and realize that since I sent my Spirit to live inside of you, you are new. You are a new creation. You're no longer one of those. You are no longer numbered in the unrighteous. You are numbered over here in the righteous. And that's exactly what Paul says. And such were some of you.
Yeah.
That's the old you. That guy's dead and gone. You're dead to him. He's dead to you. You're dead to sin. And we just have to reckon that. We just have to walk by faith in that. So such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So God took us out of the realm of the unrighteous. We were numbered there. We were a part of that club. We were a part of that group. We did our fair share of all these things that are listed. But now God has taken us out of that. He has washed us clean. He has sanctified us, set us apart. He has justified us, declared us righteous, and numbered us among the righteous. And all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So what does the Spirit of God do? It confirms this dramatic supernatural transformation by bearing witness with our human spirits that indeed we are children of God. Are you going to believe what the desires of the flesh are telling you? Are you going to believe what those crazy thoughts that race through your mind tell you? Or are you going to believe the Spirit of God? There's only one of those three voices that are going to be speaking the truth, and that's the Spirit of God. Listen to him and let the truth of who he is in you, who you are in him, set you free.
Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, excuse me, friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. And we'd love for you to pick up that phone right now and give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, of course, we've spoken quite a bit about our $90,000 matching gift grant, but we still have a long way to go, friends, to make that happen. So in this Christmas season, we hope you'll share in the grace of giving so that others can hear, believe, and live the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right now, because of that matching gift grant, you can make your gift count double, twice as much when you donate at basicgospel.net, and we hope you will do that. Again, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. So again, that phone number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. You're on Basic Gospel Radio, my friend.
Hey, Andrew.
Good to hear you, my friends, and a Merry Christmas to y'all. Thank y'all so much for taking my call. Appreciate you. And I am so glad now that y'all joining forces with Andrew Farley, because then I can just listen to one of y'all without trying to catch both. Okay? Appreciate you.
We're making it simple for you.
Yeah. Real simple. I appreciate that, too. Thank you so much. But I just want to know, sometimes, you know, when we're having conversations, you know, with people mixing law and grace and how best to deal with these conversations, you know, ministers and other people, too, when they're talking about the power, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And they teach a lot of that. And then you have some people, too, who are focusing on the physical aspects of Isaiah 53, about by his stripes we are healed. and seem like, you know, the mission more most important part, which is the spiritual part. And if he heals you, like the Hebrew boy said, you know, it's good. And if he doesn't, that don't change God. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that when you have having conversations with people about that.
Okay. Well, both great questions, Andrew, and thanks for bringing them to the broadcast today. We sure appreciate that. As far as mixing law and grace, the entire book of Galatians really addresses that problem, and Paul calls it a problem. Why? Because when you mix law and grace, you rob the purpose. You rob them each of their purposes. You're blending together something that aren't supposed to be blended together. They're like oil and water. They're not supposed to be mixed. So the law had a purpose, and that purpose was to give us the knowledge of sin. That purpose was to show us that we were condemned, that we were sinners, that we needed a Savior. And once the law does its job, once the law fulfills its purpose, it steps aside so that Jesus can save us. And then once Jesus saves us, we are fully submitted to him. We are under his control, under his charge. He takes the lead. And as Paul says, we are led by the Spirit. So folks just don't understand that, you know, the nature of the law is going to bring out the sinful desires inside of us. That's just the way it works. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15, where is the sting of death, the sting of sin. It's in the law, and the law is the power. And so we have to recognize that. We also see it in Romans chapter 7, that sin taking advantage of the commandment produces all kinds of evil desires inside of us. So if you're trying to mix law and grace, what you're really doing is anchoring people to the law, anchoring people to those Ten Commandments. And in anchoring people to those Ten Commandments, you have anchored them to a life of frustration, a life of constant failure, a life of constant disappointment. Why? Because they will never be able to live out what they think they should be. So we need to set the purpose of the law up in a very clear way, as the Word of God does. Like I said, through the law, Romans 3:20, we gain the knowledge of sin. It's like that guy driving in a Porsche. He's going down the road, going 120 miles an hour, and that's just what the Porsche was meant to do. It was built for speed. And then he passes a sign, and on that sign it has the number 55, and underneath that it has these three letters, MPH, 55 miles per hour. That's the speed limit. That's the law. And so when he looks at his speedometer and then looks at that sign again, he has the knowledge of sin, that 120 is a transgression, a violation of the law. So now he knows what he's doing. Well, that sign can't slow him down. If he's going to slow down, he's going to have to pull his foot off of that pedal. That's the only way that can work. So the law did its job. Well, that's what the law does for us. It shows us our sinfulness so that we can turn to Christ for salvation. So if ministers are trying to mix law and grace and blend them together, they just really haven't read the book of Galatians in a very clear reading of it, because if they did, they would see time and time again that now that we're under the grace of God, we're no longer under the law. So that's what we need to make clear. And I think if you encounter somebody in a conversation and they are trying to mix law and grace, just keep taking them to the book of Galatians and just pointing out verse after verse after verse and say, what is that saying to you? What do you think that means? Mm-hmm. You know, if it says we're no longer under the law, what does that mean? It means we're no longer under the law. We're led by the Spirit. So just keep pressing and keep pushing and keep challenging them to read the words and let the Spirit of God reveal the meaning to them. So that's the first thing. And then as far as Isaiah 53 is concerned, boy, we keep bringing things down to physical blessings. We want God to bless us with money. We want God to bless us with wealth. We want God to bless us with prosperity. We want God to bless us with things. We want God to bless us with good health. And we've distilled all the blessings down to those physical things that we can see and feel and touch and that we can flaunt in front of others. If we say that prosperity is a sign that God has shown you favor, then we can flaunt that and say, hey, God's shown me favor and not you because I have more money in my bank account than you do. So it becomes an attitude of pride. But we want to make the atonement, what Christ did at the cross, we want to make his sacrifice, we want to bring it down and just say, hey, that's going to bring to us physical health. When in reality, what really needed to be cured was our hearts. And what God has done through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is to cure our hearts. And that's exactly what Peter says in his letter, the second chapter. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. What was our sickness? We were strayers. We bowed our knee to the gods of this world. That was our sickness, and our heart was deceitful. Our heart was easily deceived, and we were drawn to those things. We needed truth. Jesus Christ showed us the truth about God. And when we saw that truth, we were drawn to him, and we returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And what we see is our souls being healed. So that's what God is most interested in, is for us to be made alive together with Christ and to have our spirits connected with his in union, in relationship. And that's the healing nature of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see this in another story in the New Testament when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And one out of the 10 came back and said to Jesus, thank you. And Jesus was like, where's the other nine? I mean, I healed them as well. Why aren't they returning to give thanks? But he looked at the one who did, and he said, your faith has made you whole. Now, the others experienced physical healing. Only one experienced the healing of his soul, and that was the one who returned and gave thanks. And interestingly enough, that guy wasn't Jewish. That guy was a Samaritan. And so we see something really, really interesting there. But yes, our bodies are going to be made new. We're going to get resurrection bodies. That's part of the gospel. That's the hope that we have as believers in Christ. But that doesn't mean that we are going to be healed of every sickness and disease that we encounter here. Sometimes those diseases take our earthly lives away, where these bodies die. But that doesn't mean we die. We're just absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen. I appreciate it. I knew you could deal with it. And I was just thinking about it. Dave, you were talking so many times, we talk about the Israelites, and we act just like the Israelites because what we want, prosperity, we want everything else. We want the kind of king that can give us that kind of situation. Sometimes that's how we really miss who Jesus is, because we look for all these other things.
Yeah, that's right.
We put all these things into place. And so I just thank you so much, and God bless, because, you know, the truth is the truth. And we just have to be willing to tell the truth. Because, see, sometimes I think some of the ministers do that so they can get to that tithe box, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to be beating people up the head with that. And
yes.
So if they can't put all the other stuff in, they can't get to the tithe box. They've got to have the tithe box.
That's right. That's right. Well, like I've said so often, we get way too enamored by the gifts and ignore the giver.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, Merry Christmas to you, brother.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thanks so much. Appreciate y'all. God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go down to McAllen, Texas, and talk to Roman. Hi, Roman. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Oh, yes, hello.
We're doing well. How are you, my friend?
Blessed. Thank you. Thanks for the Lord.
Yeah, so what's on your mind?
I wanted to know if it's okay to drink like a little bit, like in moderation, but not to get like just to like drink. Sometimes I feel like depression or something, like, you know, like, and I have schizophrenia and I'm like, I'll have a lot of sicknesses, like mental illnesses, and that helps me. I think it would help me like cope with it, like, you know.
Yeah, Roman, you know, we're free. We're free as believers in Christ, and I guess that's where I want to start with you, Roman. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you come to know that Jesus died for your sins, that Jesus was buried, and then on the third day he arose from the dead so that you might have everlasting life?
Yes, I have faith so strong that I am certain, and I'm certain that it did happen.
So here's the good news about that, Roman. When we believe the gospel, when you believe the gospel, it says you're saved, you're born again, you're made alive together with Christ, so you go from death to life. And then the good news is that God sends his Spirit to take up residence inside of you. So you have God's counselor living inside of you, and he's the one that you want to turn to when problems arise. We can turn to alcohol, and certainly people do, and it gives a temporary reprieve from those feelings, those deep feelings, but it doesn't solve the problem. Because tomorrow you're going to feel depressed. Tomorrow you're going to feel down and out. Tomorrow you're going to feel those same feelings, and then you'll turn to drink again, and then pretty soon you're depending upon the alcohol, and alcohol is starting to control you, and that's just going to thrust you deeper into depression and the mental issues that you've laid out here. So what I would encourage you to do, Roman, one, I'll put you on hold after the conversation. I want to send you some resources that might be a big help to you. But then second thing, I want to encourage you to get involved in a church group there in McAllen if you're not already, and to connect with one of the leaders there. And just sit down face to face, eye to eye, and say, this is what I'm going through, and I need somebody to walk me through this. I know the Lord is there, but I need somebody to kind of encourage me in keeping my eyes focused on Jesus and focused on the Spirit being my counselor, being my comforter through all the things that I go through in life. So Let me put you on hold, Roman. Michelle will pick up with you, and we'll get some information and send some stuff to you. Okay, Roman?
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your ministry.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling. It's so good to hear from you, and you hold on, my friend.
Well, Bob, as we close the broadcast today, take just a minute and let our listeners know the importance of us stepping up and matching that $90,000 matching gift grant.
Well, I think Roman's call is a perfect example of that. I mean, here's somebody that hears a broadcast. He's at a point of need in his life. He wants to know some truth. So he calls, and we can provide him some resources. Well, his story is going to be multiplied in the thousands around this world, here in the United States and around the world. And your gift today to Basic Gospel is going to be doubled, multiplied, so that more people like Roman can be reached, and we can share with him the good news of Jesus Christ, and to help see him be liberated from those things that are controlling him. So give, be a part of this great matching gift opportunity.
Double every dollar that you give, and twice the impact. That's good stuff, friends. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry's team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.